Every Christian is a servant. Maybe a good servant, or it could be a bad servant. We don't want to be a bad servant. We want to be a good servant. So I want to go back to a scripture tonight that we refer to this scripture, even our lesson this morning, as the base text for our lesson tonight in Matthew chapter 20, verses 25 through 28. Well, the Bible says, "But Jesus called them unto him and said, You know the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and they that are great exercise authority upon them. But it shall not be so among you. But whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many." This passage, along with other places in the Word of God, teaches us that the Lord wants us to be a serving people. As I said this morning, that's what Christianity is all about. It's about serving. It's about serving others, because, again, that's what the Lord was about. Again, we emphasize verse 28 that we just read, where he says, "Even as the Son of Man came not to serve, or to be served, to be ministered unto, or to be served, but to serve, or to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many." He being then our example. He came to serve. If we are going to follow in his footsteps, then we must be a people who serve. And we truly cannot serve the Lord acceptably without serving others. Serving others is a part of serving the Lord. It's not all of serving the Lord, but it certainly is a part of serving the Lord. In that judgment scene scripture in Matthew 25 that comes just after the scriptures that we were studying this morning, well, the Bible says there that the Son of Man with his angels were going to come, and all the nations were going to be gathered before him. And he was going to separate the nations just like the shepherd separates the sheep from the goat. The sheep he was going to put on the right side and the goats on the left. And he said things like this to the righteous, that I was a stranger. You took me in. I was sick and you visited me. I was hungry and you gave me food. I was in prison and you came unto me. I was naked and you clothed me. And the righteous then would say to him, "Lord, when did we see you like this, what you've just described?" I'm paraphrasing what it said. And he says in verse number 40 of Matthew 25, "Inasmuch as you have done this unto the least of these my brethren, you've done it unto me." He had just talked about some acts of service. So he has said that when you serve the least of these my brethren, you are serving me. So again, I say, we truly cannot serve the Lord totally without serving others. So we are in the serving business. Again, Jesus came not to be ministered unto, but to minister. And he has left it to us to walk in his footsteps, to minister, to serve. What then tonight are some practical ways that the scripture show us how we can serve folks. And if we don't want to serve people, we're in the wrong business. After all, again, all of us are servants. So if we don't want to serve, and if we don't serve, you know what we're going to hear? Jesus would go on in that same passage that I just related, and he would say things like, you saw me in all of these conditions that he had just described, and you didn't serve, or you didn't minister. And they said, when did we see you like that? When did we see you naked? When did we see you in prison? When did we see you sick? When did we see you hungry? He said, inasmuch as you did it not unto the least of these my brethren, you did it not unto me. And he said, these will go away into everlasting punishment. Is that what we want? I know that's not what I want, and I believe that's not what you want. So again, he is saying, unless we are people who are serving other folks, we don't miss heaven. I don't want to miss heaven. You don't want to miss heaven. So again, Christianity is all about serving. Every Christian is a servant. But the question, as we said this morning, that we need to ask ourselves is, what kind of servant am I? Am I one of those good servants, or am I a wicked servant? So let's be people that serve. And I want to leave with us tonight then, again, a few ways, practical ways, in which the Bible talks about serving folks. Number one, a practical way of serving other people is by showing hospitality. By showing hospitality to folks. When we look at the definition of hospitality, you'll find things like this. Showing kindness in welcoming strangers and guests. Being friendly and extending generous reception and entertainment of guests, visitors, or strangers. In other words, reaching out to folks, being kind, being invited to them, welcoming to them. And you know, the older generation, when I talk about the older generation, I'm talking about my mother's generation and on before, you know, they may not all been Christians, but most of them, especially where I grew up down in the country, they sort of had this hospitality thing. They knew what it was all about. When folks would come, whether they knew them or not, they would come by their house, they would always extend hospitality to them. You never go there and you'd leave without them encouraging you, let's get something to eat, or let's have a cold drink. And call them back then, Brother Jimmy, soda, a cold soda. Or they'll just sit down and just entertain you with a nice conversation. They had time for one another. All of that was a part of being hospitable. And if they could do that, while they may not have been Christians, surely we as Christians ought to know what it is to be hospitable to one another, to guests, to strangers, to visitors, to those that come in our midst. And when we look at the Word of God, I think of a couple of people that give us a good example of what being hospitable is all about. Or at least one person that I'll leave us with tonight. Y'all remember Lydia? This first convert that Paul and Silas had the opportunity to come amidst in Acts chapter 16, after he had had this vision where he had intended to go in another direction, but he saw this man beckoning him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. And so he goes over there, they go over there, and the Bible says on this Sabbath, they go down to the riverside. And they see this group of women there who had gone down there for prayer. And Paul began to preach the gospel to them. And the Bible says this in verse number 14 of Acts chapter 16. A certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshiped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. Verse 15 says, and when she was baptized and her household, she besought us, saying, if you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us. Look at that last sentence. And she constrained us. Here's a new convert. One who has just obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, who wanted to be hospitable. She wanted to show hospitality. And the construction of the sentence seemed to be is that Paul and Silas, they were somewhat reluctant. I'm not saying that they were afraid to go, but I'm saying they were reluctant to go into her house or to go with her, because if they had not shown some sort of hesitancy, she never would have had to constrain them. The idea is that she insisted. She begged them. She insisted them to come into her house. I remind you again, she's a new convert. I'm afraid that, and I hope it's none among us, but I'm afraid if you look in the church, I'm talking about the church worldwide, that there are a lot of folks who've been there for many a years and still haven't learned to be hospitable. Here's a new convert. Just has obeyed the gospel. Maybe it was in her makeup. Maybe it was in her DNA. I don't know. But she shows hospitality right off the bat. What a great attribute. What a great example this lady shows in hospitality. Again, she is serving them. This is an act of service. And then after this, some time passed. You can read it in the scripture there as you continue to read. Paul had the occasion again to cast out this evil spirit. And the officials got upset with that, and they arrested Paul and Silas. And they put him in prison. After time, you know the story, they were delivered from prison. And you know what they did once they left prison? They went back to Lydia's house. I wonder why did they go back there? I believe because they found her house invited. They found her house a place of hospitality. The scripture says this in verse number 39 of Acts chapter 16. And they came and besought them and brought them out and desired them to depart out of the city. And they went out of the prison and entered into the house of Lydia. And when they had seen the brethren, they comforted them and departed. If they had not found this place to be hospitable in the first time they were there, do you think they would have gone back? If they had been met with hostility the first time, do you think they would have gone back? I believe they were treated with kindness, with generosity the first time they went to Lydia's house. So when they got out of prison this time, they knew that we can go back there and we can find a refreshing atmosphere. Years later, again, he was a great example of being hospitable. She served. She was willing to serve. And again, she's a virtually new Christian. New Christian, we know, at the first time. Second time, she hadn't been a Christian for long. A child of God for long. She is a person of hospitality. What about us tonight again? Are we hospitable people? Do we reach out to people? Do we readily accept people? Or do we keep people at arm's length? I don't know about you. I need to check you out. You need to visit us a little bit more so that we can really get to know you. When people come through those doors, or when we have the opportunity to meet somebody, even in Walmart or wherever the case may be, we ought to be showing some signs of hospitality. You see, that type of attitude generates a climate where we can, if they're not a Christian, we can reach out to them and they will be more susceptible to listen to what we have to say. But if we put up the cold shoulder, they don't want to hear anything we have to say. How can we serve them then with the gospel if they see that we are not hospitable? So again, I hope we don't have any here. Let's not be cold people. Let's be warm-hearted people. Let's be people that are willing to reach out. Another way of showing hospitality, of serving, a scriptural illustration of service is found in the book of James, chapter 1, verse number 26 and 27. The Bible says this: if any among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, this man religion is vain. You know, his talk is easy. And when you talk a lot, sooner or later, you're going to say something that you ought not say. That's what he's talking about there. If you just seem to be religious, if you're just talking the game, not watching what you say, because eventually, if you're just talking the game, eventually you're going to say something out of place, something you ought not say. You're not bridling your tongue. He said, your religion is vain. Then he says, deceiving your own heart. But then he says, truly religion is this: to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction, and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. So when we provide for the widows and the orphans, we're serving people. That's a practical way of serving folks. I think about a lady by the name of Dorcas in Acts chapter 9. Dorcas got sick, of course, and eventually she died. Through the grace of God, of course, she was raised from the dead. But it is said concerning Dorcas. In verse number 38 of chapter 9 of Acts, the Bible says, and for as much as Lydda was nigh to Joppa, and the disciples had heard that Peter was there, they sent unto him two men, desiring him that he would not delay to come to them. Then Peter arose and went with them. When he was come, they brought him into the upper chamber, and all the widows stood by him, weeping and showing the coats and garments which Dorcas made while she was with them. Here is a lady who made a lot of coats and garments. And it is believed by most of the commentaries and scholars that she was doing this, making these garments for the poor and for the orphans. What was she doing, if that is correct? She was providing for the widows and the orphans. She was serving them. That's my point. My point is that we need to be concerned about the widows and the orphans and the poor. People who, in Bible time, widows, and especially orphans also, it was a struggle for them to provide for themselves. No wonder the Lord says that you leave something in the corners of your field for the widows to come and to glean, for the poor and for the stranger. They don't have the necessary means, to provide for themselves. And so there are people in this world even today who don't. I know there are some who can provide but won't provide, but there are some who actually cannot provide. They fall into this category of needing our service. We ought to be a people again who are willing to reach out and to serve the widows and the orphans, the poor, and the destitute. That's true religion. That's religion that's worth practicing. A talking religion just by itself is no good. We need a religion that put action, that put word, I put actions into the words that you're carrying and that you're expending from the mouth. We need action, positive action, to go together with those words. So again, people will know that we care because they see it in the deeds that we extend. Providing for widows and orphans is a way of serving others. Supporting such works, even that we have in our city, Agape, a neighboring city, Child Haven, places like that, who are in this business, this ministry, which is an extension of the church, of providing for folks who cannot necessarily provide for themselves. What a great work we can be involved in. What a great way we can serve folks. But again, if we are not into the business of serving folks, we're going to hear the Lord say, depart from them. You don't want to hear that. Another practical way, and I'm just going through these, and I want all of us to really take heed to what we're trying to say tonight. Taking my time going through them, and I'll soon be through. We can serve folks by rendering comfort to others. Most people are pretty good at this, especially in times of troubles and sorrow that's brought on by death. But there are so many other ways that we can render comfort and aid to other folks. And we need to be about the business of serving them in these areas. Paul said it to the church at Corinth in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4, which is a familiar passage. So he said, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercy and God of all comfort, who comforted us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort others or comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. Not only in times of death do people need comfort. In times of the loss of a job, folks need comfort. When a person has lost a job, that's their livelihood. They are concerned. We need to come to their aid and comfort them. Extend even a helping hand and comfort them. When a person is divorced, they need some comfort. When the person suffered some other physical tragedy, they need some comfort. We need to be there for that's a way of serving people. In times of discouragement, people need some comfort. That's a way of serving them. That's a way of being there for them. The Apostle Paul, who near the end of his life wrote concerning the faith that he had kept the faith, but even in keeping the faith, Paul needed some comfort when he was in prison. He said this concerning a certain man that came and refreshed him. The idea of refreshing one means that that person needs some comfort. Listen to what he says in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 15. He says, this thou knowest, that in all they which are in Asia be turned away from me, of whom are Phygellus and Hermogenes. The Lord give mercy unto the house of Onesiphorus, for he oft refreshed me. and was not ashamed of my chain. But when he was in Rome, he sought me out very diligently and found me. The Lord grant unto him that he may find mercy of the Lord in that day, and how many things he ministered, he served me. Onesiphorus served the Apostle Paul when he was at Ephesus. He says, thou knowest very well. Paul says, I needed some refreshing, and Onesiphorus was there. He looked for me, he found me, and he often refreshed me. And if you notice again, as you look at the scripture again, look at what it says again, that he sought me out very diligently, which meant that the first time he didn't find it, but he kept on looking for Paul. I hope tonight when we have the opportunity to offer somebody some comfort, that if it takes our going to some trouble to be there for them, let's go to the trouble. Onesiphorus sought him out diligently, put himself to some trouble to find the Apostle Paul because he wanted to serve him. That's what Christianity, again, is all about. Christianity is not that easy road that we travel. Christianity is a road of self-denial. Let's be people then that serve. One more let me share with you, and then I'll be through. Another way of, practical way of serving others is by helping in the ministry of the gospel. You know, everybody is not a pulpit preacher. And I may not be much of one myself. But seriously, everybody is not a pulpit preacher. But there are so many other ways that you can help in the ministry of the gospel. Timothy and Epaphroditus served with Paul in the ministry of the gospel. Listen to what is said concerning them in Philippians chapter 2 and verse number 19. The Bible says, but I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timotheus shortly unto you, that also I also may be of good comfort when I know your state. For I have no man like-minded who will, the Bible says, naturally care for your state. For all seek their own, not the things which are of Jesus Christ. But ye know the proof of him that as a son with the Father, he has served with me in the gospel. Him therefore I hope to shortly send to you. Him I hope to send presently, rather, so soon I shall see how it will go with me. But I trust in the Lord that I also myself shall come shortly. Yet I supposed it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother, and companion in labor, and a fellow soldier, but your messenger, and that he ministered or he served my wants. Timothy aided Paul in the ministry. Epaphroditus aided Paul in the ministry. Others helped Paul in the ministry. Romans 16, verse number 1, he says, I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church, which is at Cenchrea, that you receive her in the Lord as becometh saints, and that you assist her in whatever business she has need of you. For she has been a succorer, a helper of many, and of myself also. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus, who have for my life laid down their own necks, unto whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. These were helpers in the ministry. Again, everybody is not a pulpit preacher, but there are so many other ways you can help in the ministry. Whatever you can do to aid in the ministry of the gospel, be willing to do it. That's an act of service. You can invite people. That's serving people. You can grade corresponding courses. That's serving people. You can distribute tracts. That's serving. What are you doing? You're aiding or helping in the ministry of the gospel. You can visit the confined, and on you can go. So when you say there's nothing to do in the church, I beg to differ. There's so much to do in the church. Are you a helper of the gospel? Or you think you can't do anything unless you're the song leader? Unless you're the preacher, unless you're the Bible school teacher. There is so much to do in the ministry of the gospel. Let's serve, folks. And again, as I said this morning, all our service need to be done in humility and giving glory to the Lord. Practical ways of serving. And again, Christianity is all about serving folks. Let's be in the service business, serving people. Whatever way that we can. Whether we are that five-talent man, or whether we are that two-talent man, even whether we're that one-talent man, just don't do like the one-talent man did. Let's do like the five-talent and the two-talent man. Let's use whatever gift, whatever ability we have to the glory of God. It's all about serving, folks. Again, we can't truly serve the Lord unless we serve other folks. If you're here then tonight and you need to respond to the Lord's invitation, we encourage you to do that. If you need prayer, any reason why not do that? If you're not a Christian, we're encouraging you to hear and believe the gospel. Repent of your past sins. Confess your faith in Jesus Christ and be buried in the water grave of baptism for the remission of your sins. Let the Lord add you to the church. Then go on through life serving people. Jesus came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. And we are to walk in the footsteps of Jesus. If you need to come while we stand, while we sing, would you come? The door, somebody.